there is a revelation. I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality. Something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that apostle, because
this message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' mighty name. John chapter 3, let's start from verse 13. I told you people yesterday that there are two levels of reconciliation that the cross has engaged. So there is the human levels of reconciliation, and there is the cosmic levels of reconciliation. Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up, are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, and every person that is found in the Son of Man, be lifted up. Next verse. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Next verse. For God so loved who?
The world.
For God so loved who?
The world.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the scripture is showing you here, obviously. Did you see where we started reading? From verse 14. The scripture just showed us here that there are two directions of the reconciliation mission of the cross. One is directed to whosoever believes, representing the humans that is upon the face of the earth. But if you look at this scripture, the Bible also said, for God so loved the world. And not just this place, in many other places in the scripture, the Bible showed us that the cross was set up as a means of reconciliation. Now, if you ask me, I will say that there are two directions, two superimposing mysteries that is in the scripture. And in the centralities of the gospel, we did a lot of justice to it. We cannot say that it's exhaustive, of course, because it's a human that did the job. But we did enough to give you robust material for you to go in several directions as much as the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you specifically. Two things we mentioned is that we mentioned about the Christ. Am I correct? And the second thing we mentioned is the cross. Are you getting the point now? Now, there is something Satan was never aware of. It was a mystery. You know, we talk about a lot of mysteries concerning the labors of Jesus to bring us to redemption, and we talk about maybe something like incarnation. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But we notice that when the apostles speak about the greatest thing that happened, especially Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said that if these men, if the world with their knowledge know God, they would not have crucified. Say after me, crucified. That means all the wisdom of the world summed up together lacks the ability to bring anybody to the understanding of what the cross actually meant. It will also in extension mean that whatever the cross is, it was a hidden mystery until Jesus appeared upon the face of the earth. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Satan didn't know that there is something that has the ability to reconcile all things to God himself. You saw where the last teacher read. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you, save what? Let's read it together. Let's say it again. Say it again.
Christ.
It is abundantly obvious in the scripture that when man sinned, God did not just lose you. God also lost the kingdoms of the world. Listen, when I talk about the world now, I'm not, as you also mentioned, and as Jesus emphasized many times, I'm not necessarily talking about the physicality of the world. If you heard me so far, say amen.
Amen.
What Satan is really controlling is not the physicality of the world. Even him depends on the physicality of the world. What Satan is controlling is the system that have the ability to accomplish things within this physical world. For example, there is a system that is in this physical, we call it the world system, that is working tirelessly to achieve the purpose of the one that is in charge of it. And who is in charge? Sometimes it's Satan. Now, this is it. This is why the cross is tall. The only means through which God can recover any part of this world to be something that can work out his purpose is through the means of the cross. That means the scripture is trying to tell us that even though Satan is in charge, that there is a way the cross can redeem. I don't want to go far. So God can, through the cross, redeem something from this world so that he can do something for him. Are you getting what I'm saying, man? So that means you can come in a physical world and there is an undercurrent going on where in many aspects Satan is the one that is in charge. And all the labels that is there, whether it's good or bad, I'm not in the realm of good or bad. There is a realm beyond good or bad. I'm not in the realm. You know, many Christians, especially in this day, Christianity is descending down to morality. That is the gospel of political correctness. Are you getting it now? That's the kind they teach where you guys are. Sometimes I use style and thank God that I'm still in Nigeria. In fact, I don't plan to leave. I will be sending it to them there. Boom! Huh? The seeker-friendly gospel that everybody will now accept it. The cross has not gone through it. The cross goes through it. The scripture says that the cross is an offense. In fact, the cross offends carnal believers. Talk more of unbelievers. The cross what? Offends carnal believers. Talk more of what? Unbelievers. By the time the cross is through with you, you will not remain. I'm not saying you will be reduced. I'm saying you will not what? You will not remain. You will not remain. The cross can deal with you to the point that it will tell you to shave your beard for no reason. And you will shave it. When you have shaved it for long, you know now, when you started doing the beard is to appear man. So this is my point. My point is this. God can go as far as by the cross, stripping you of everything. He's not asking you, is he good, is he bad? That's the question that these people, this age is asking. Is the cross at work? Is it fair for Jesus to go to the cross? I want to ask you, is it fair? In fact, even the people that want to kill him, the Pilate checked everything. This guy doesn't have anything he did. He still took him to the cross. Why? Because of purpose. Are you seeing it now? If God designs a purpose that your life is supposed to achieve, and there are many accompaniments around your life that will, even if it's just unjust, he takes you to the cross to reduce you to shape. There are things that have happened to us we don't deserve now. Meanwhile, those things made us stronger or better and more usable in the hand of God. Are you getting where I'm going now? The purpose of God, the desires of heaven, is what really first took Jesus to the cross. If I say this now, some people will not, they will say, I'm trying to make it hard and all that. It's fact in the Bible. Let me tell you fact. If I ask you now, you will say, the reason why Jesus died for you is because he loved you. Hello? Are you with me? Think about it, the law. Think about it logically. If it is like that, nobody should have even died without that Jesus. God will force it on people. Let's use your sense now. Are you getting what I'm saying? If because people expand the scripture beyond what God actually meant to communicate through that scripture. It is the man in God's purpose that God loves. The man that God loves is not necessarily individual. It is the new man. I don't have time to explore that. Are you getting what I'm saying? God did not have a man for himself before Jesus came. So there is no lineage through which God can raise people like us. It is by Christ and the cross that he got a man for himself. And before Jesus paid his ultimate sacrifice, there is a witness from heaven and on earth that he is the fitting vessel. As who taught yesterday? I've forgotten who used the word behold. Behold the man. Did she use it? I've forgotten. Now I have taught that thing before. Okay, Bible reading. When Pilate finished testing Jesus and all that, he didn't find anything. What did he tell them? Behold what? Now, you need three kinds of witnesses for you to ascertain that something is correct. Are you with me? Now, this is it. The Bible said in the book of 1 John that there are three that bears witness, where? And there are three that bears what? On earth. By the time Jesus was approaching the cross, after that encounter that took place at Caesarea Philippi, where he asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They needed to identify him in his real essence, because that's the person that should die. The Jesus of Galilee, I keep saying it, is powerful, did miracle, but the Jesus that died for you is the Son of God. The Jesus of Galilee can do miracles for you, but the Jesus, the Son of God, is the one that can save you. Are you seeing it now? So God can use you to do miracles, but you can't save. You can't save people from eternal damnation. So once they made that statement, Jesus began to, the Bible said he turned his face towards Jerusalem, because that's where he's going to die. Are you getting the point now? But before these things happened, there were a series of witnesses that came forth. The Bible said that at some point in prayer, when he prayed, John chapter 17, he cried and a voice thundered from heaven. And the Bible recorded that there were people that was there that heard it. Jesus told them that this voice came not because of me, but because of what? You. It is in that moment that heaven bore witness and said, this is my beloved what? Son. In whom I am well pleased. That means Jesus satisfied by his living. This kind of testimony couldn't have come in on an initial basis. He was allowed to live so that he will display before us the lifestyle and present his lifestyle to be judged. It is after that that the whole of heaven gave their verdict and said that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Are you getting what I'm saying? When that man left and went to the same place, but now Pilate is representing the authority of man of the day. Pilate was representing Caesar. Am I correct? As far as the earth is concerned, that is the supreme authority of man represented upon the face of the earth. After Pilate tested Jesus with all the wisdom that is available, and that man is wise. He asked him, I think, how many questions? Two or three? There were two out of that three questions that, if it's not that we are reading the Bible in hindsight, it's hard to answer. Very hard. Actually, in the teaching of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that is the manifestation of the word of wisdom. The way Jesus answered him. For example, he asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? He said, you are the one that said so. That is word of wisdom. That's the manifestation of word of wisdom. Are you following me now? So, Pilate saying, behold your man, means that heaven and man has witnessed that for the first time, humanity has their man. It means that in the battle against evil, depravity, darkness, we have never had a man to represent us. Adam tried, they cut him down. Abraham tried his best, died. The giant Moses rose. The book of Hebrews raised Moses very high and said, but that thing died. He said he raised priesthood that cannot last. But he said, this man, because he ever lived, this man, because what? He ever lived. That is one of the fundamental weakness of the former covenant. I keep saying it. There is no life in it. It is not just the life in communication. It is the life in sustenance. It means that there is a galvanizing essence in every testament and covenant that determines how long it can last. According to the laws that binds covenant, when you have covenant with a man or an agreement with a man, if the man dies, that covenant is of no effect. Except other parties, that there are other people that is involved that is still alive. The scripture referencing it, I think in the book of Galatians, he said, if a man marries a woman, are you getting the point? That there is a law binding that woman, but if the man dies, you cannot still bind that woman. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Why? Because the people that are death has separated. So there is a challenge. But the book of Hebrews raised Jesus higher than men by saying that he is both the mediator and the testator. The mediator and what? The testator. It is not possible within human context. The reason is because that is the book of Hebrews saying, for a covenant to be of effect, the testator must die first. Now, if Jesus is dead, he cannot also be the mediator at the same time. But there is a life that can die. That's why Satan doesn't like us to preach about the cross at all. That's where he's totally mesmerized. It is not just that God saved you by that cross. He also saved this depraved world. That's what I'm trying to teach. It means that you can live in this world and not be of this world. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
you don't know what I'm saying. Satan has rigged this world to have the ability to force people to do what they don't want to do it. They force you to do it. But the cross was able to redeem out our soul, our life, and redeem out an ecosystem that can support that life. So that we can survive even in this world, but the civilization that powers our existence is different. So if Satan can't touch your life, he will rig the environment of that life. Knowing that no matter how potent a life is, if you put it in a place that can't support it, what will happen to that life? You are correct. If you are with me so far, say amen. So yesterday night, I was discussing with my brothers in my house. I was telling them that there is a lot of labor we need to put in this scripture. While in my follow, we are analyzing yesterday's teaching. There is a lot of labor to put in. Now, one of the labels I was discussing with Prophet, I told him one and months ago, even though my wife sneaked in, I told her, go and rest. You pray, just stay inside. Don't allow them to shift you out. Yeah. now marry you, pastor's wife. Sorry, I always go to this kind of place. Marry you as pastor's wife. They are now taking care of you. Package you one side. Do you understand? Are you a house implement? There is something that made you to be in the place of marrying a pastor before. Are you getting the point now? You now leave it and become a house implement. One of our kids, ornamental value. Took your head there and hear what they are saying. Took your head there. We get some time. Look at some of you. I see where your eye is. Your target is to ascend, then sit in front. They say, Mama, I say, how are you? Okumons oba oba. Anyway, it can't happen in revival home. You will have to leave before it happens. Yes. Coming after. Hey! When I say this thing, some of you think I'm joking. I'm gonna come after you. Let me leave this part. When I say something fires in me with anger, come and finish training you. You waste my training. Go now. Why? You can't go now. It's late. It's late now. Do you know what I've suffered to train you every day? What have I not invested spiritually and physically? Come and now come disappoint me. I can't train you, you waste, oh, except you are a son of perdition. Even if you think you are wasting, you are not wasting. Even if you think you are done like an other, that place you are, I know what. Let me tell you, in my school, even dropout is best in other places. I'm not boasting. In my own school. That's how hard I train. Bring me out.
Go back to Ghana now. Hey. Hey.
Meanwhile, when he came, you remember when he came like man of God? But now, things don't happen. Meanwhile, it's now that he became strong. Who will I call and leave the rest? Where is that your hair? And all the men of God in the house. This one used to palm his hair. Jesus, Mary, better bro.
Need to thank me, yo. Need to thank me. And it was because you got serious that Caleb now followed. They are now inviting Caleb everywhere for ministry. You don't know what is happening. It's you people that are neglecting people here. Are you not aware? Guy, they pour fire. Say he entered camp, they looked at him and say, Apostle Edu.
Yes, now.
Even people we don't, even confidence that normally comes, he entered camp, they say, Apostle Edu. Even confidence. Where we say, when I know now, I say, so, and that's it. Let's read this verse 2 together again. 1, 2, ready, go. I intentionally started on time. Let me have time to work on this. I will counsel you to go back and listen to it. This, it will help you to have a grip. Look at scripture. Let me show you how to analyze scripture. He said, there are many things. If I come and meet,
Hi. Who will I use now? Come, let me use you. Come and stand here.
Can you see this sister now? Tell me three things you noticed about her. Tell me one thing you notice about her as she's standing here. Can I get a mic? Be fast. Can I get a mic?
She's wearing a corporate gown.
So, the first thing she observed is that she's wearing what? Give your neighbor. What do you notice about her?
She's holding a pen.
She's holding a pen. Give to your neighbor. No. Let's have a man's.
She's not on makeup.
That's good. That's good. Hey. Onyeru one ku ifo na afo. I'm only got a sefo. That's why I said let a man speak.
What is all this? Yes.
I'm on the water. I'm in car. Oh, I'll pass you. I'll have you. Amen. So that's a very powerful observation. Is it not true?
Yeah.
Let's hear you. I know you normally think logically. Huh?
She's putting on modest jewels.
That's good. I'll give the person in front. I need a man's opinion. Bring that mic. Give Pastor Matthias.
She's quite tall.
She's tall. That's good. You see what we are talking about. Give Sister Prosper. Be fast. Brother Prosper, sorry.
That is, she's putting on a black shoe.
Since we have two brothers, who am I going to give between the two of you? As the other brother,
She's fair in complexion.
Okay, she's fair. Okay, good. Pastor the pastor! Whatever you say, we'll end it here. Pastor, I know that in a buwako you won't super, so.
She's a medical personnel.
That's a knowledge that is not
physical.
It's not here. How did that this knowledge come from? Where did you extract this knowledge from? Hey, God, oh. UFO. Tell us.
Daddy, she's a pretty dancer.
Oh, where we go? Can be seated. Can be seated. You have 15 more seconds. Enjoy yourself. If you are with me so far, say amen. So this is the reason why I called her out. Paul is saying by this scripture, if I look at a person, there are many things I can recognize about that person and it will be correct. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
you can even go further and identify that maybe if he's Josh now, you will say, Josh is a pastor. He's a medical person. There are many things you can recognize about him. Some are bad, some are good. Paul is saying even the good things. I remember when I was younger, they used to say that I'm very quiet. I know some of you won't believe it, but that's your business. They used to say I'm very quiet, very gentle, no trouble, young man, and all that. And they are correct. Until we kept looking at Jesus and then found ourselves in Jesus
I could no more identify with those natural strengths. Even natural strengths are laid on the cross. So that the only thing that can be seen is who?
Christ.
So Paul said, when I come, I don't want to see your doctorate degree. I don't want to see your physical beauty. See the way they say she is beautiful. It matters less to nothing when we begin to consider the matter of the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying? I am not here to consider your eloquence. If we go down here, you will see it. The very next verse. I am not here to consider your status in the society. Paul just started where Jesus ended in the book of John chapter 3. It seems as if Jesus finished working on Nicodemus and handed over to Paul to start working here. He said, I refuse to recognize your status, positional status in the body of Christ. Let's assume you are apostle, you are bishop. I say, I don't want to know any bishop. What I want to know is who? Christ, not just Christ. Christ and him what? Crucified. Hey! This brings a very big point to us. It means that there are people in the church that is in possession of Christ, but not the one that is what?
Crucified.
You are with me. So the labors of people that want to come into the economy of God's usefulness. Listen, Paul is trying to tell us here that even God himself determined not to walk with anything except the crucified Christ. You are not getting how profound this is. If Jesus was walking upon the face of the earth, God could have continued doing whatever he wants to do. But the Christ Jesus that the heavens have determined to walk with is the one that was what?
Crucified.
The scripture now telling us, I think in the book of... I need to quote that scripture correct. 2 Corinthians. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, help me, help me. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Second Corinthians 5, verse 14. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. Pause. We are going to read the next verse. But let's read that last phrase together. From because. Let's 1, 2, ready, go. Wait. It means that there are people that their sense of spiritual judgment is weak, represented in how they relate with spiritual things. Whatever response you give to the position of the scripture we are about to present to you is a revelation of your capacity to judge spiritual things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Paul is saying, because we thus judge. I don't know whether you are part of the we, but he is already including you. I keep saying it many times that Paul is doing many costly assumptions, but you won't blame him. He is an optimist. He prefers to believe the best for you. Believe you in your reason. Say you are righteous. But you are struggling. You are holy. But you are strong. But you can't force him to believe less. So he keeps believing the best for you until you keep proving and proving otherwise. Thanks be to God. There are people that also prove the scripture right. And they will become witnesses of the same thing. And of course, judgment to others that decide to depart. So let's read it again from Bekes. 1, 2, ready, go. Not then we are all dead. Then we are all dead. Let's read it again slowly so that you will see the scripture. Edu? Watch. From that, because. 1, 2, ready, go. Because we trust judge that if one died for what? Then it means that. So it means that as of that time, we already know this thing from the scripture, but it has not struck us well. As of that time, Jesus went to the cross and died for all of us. It means
that he didn't die for us to live. He died for us to die. Jesus did not die for you to continue living your own life. He died for you to give him your own life. Are you following me now? Let's read this place again so that it will now sink in. Are you getting the point? From because, 1, 2, ready, go. Because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we are all dead. The question you ask us is it actually true that all is dead? That's why we have the cross. So that it can effect in us what it has effected in Christ. Are you getting the point now? So, Paul said, for I am determined to know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. That is the only thing that works. That is the only thing that is relevant in what God wants to do. It also means that because he achieved, got to this point by dying for all of us, and it is counted as all of us are also dead, that you can also now say that if Paul is determined to know only Jesus crucified, this is God speaking. It means that what we are looking for also is only OJB. What?
Crucified.
You are correct. It's only Tete. What?
Crucified.
It's only Tunji. What? Is only Jesse what?
Crucified.
Only Joshua what?
Crucified.
Only Prince what?
Crucified.
Only Prosper what?
Crucified.
Only Matthias what?
Crucified.
Only Faith what?
Crucified.
Only Doris what?
Crucified.
Any other thing you knew about Doris that is not the one that is crucified is irrelevant to God's agenda. I saw a sister posted a picture of the cloth that you sewed for her. She's sitting there. Said that you are a powerful seamstress. We have determined to know nothing about you except what you are in God, except the one that the cross reduced you to. If the cross allowed you to sew clothes, then that sewing is relevant to God's project. Are you getting what I'm saying? Help us, Jesus. I feel fire on my inside, because I know how deep. You don't know the weight I carry in my heart to deliver this message. I'm constrained in me to deliver this message. It's like somebody that they sent on a very high-powered errand. I need to deliver this message to this generation. I need to deliver this message. If we have 10,000 men in a congregation, if Jesus appears, what is he determined to see? What Jesus is looking for is his church crucified. Not his church. His church what? Crucified. Members what?
Crucified.
Worship session what?
Crucified.
Prayer session what?
Crucified.
Bible study session what?
Crucified.
Concert what?
Crucified.
Clothes what?
Crucified.
Session what?
Crucified.
Words what? They are not telling you to die. They are saying that if Jesus died for you, you are dead. So any life that you live that is not engineered by Jesus, you are a thief. You stole it. If you have me so far, say amen.
Amen.
I am fundamentally first interested in the fact that there is a labor of cosmic redemption that is in the heart of God beyond the fact that he wants to save you. Listen, and that is the reason why after a man is being saved, there is a continuous labor of God through that man to redeem other things. The cross at work in you can work through you and affect other things. Are you getting the point now? So that means the cross worked to save man and also worked
to reconcile even the world to God. That's number two. But there is another aspect. Aside the fact that the cross came to save us, there is, I called it, let me read it out. The cross in two directions centers us in alignment with heavenly design. Number one, by rooting out organically anything that is not of God in all holiness. Number two, by gathering us into the eternal purpose. I will go again. The cross in two directions centers us in alignment with heavenly design. The number one way he did that is by rooting out organically anything that is not of God in all holiness. Rooting out. It's easy for you to understand this place when you already know that you can't be holy if it is not possible in Christ. I believe you are aware. In fact, it's not just holy. You cannot be anything if it is not possible in Christ. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. You cannot be anything that is not possible in Christ Jesus. So because the Bible said, I think in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Jesus, the last few verses there, the Bible said that Christ has been made unto us sanctification. Where is the verse, Joshua? Verse what? Verse 30. 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let's read together. 1, 2, ready, go. Number one, number two, number three, number four. So, I want to just bring out sanctification there. Is it okay? I just want to bring out sanctification. Other ones, we have labored on them over other time. But I want to bring out sanctification. The Bible said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God and by God and through God and by his willing and by everything is made unto us. That means of God Christ was made unto you. Tell me one thing he was made unto you. No, look at it there. Say after me, wisdom. Number two, say after me, righteousness. Number three, say after me, sanctification. So sanctification is both a state and also a progress. Sanctification is both a state and a progress. Now, it is a state because of the presence of Christ in our life as believers. Are you getting what I'm saying? I remember that time when we got born again. I'm using this typical example. And then we talk about the Holy Spirit baptism. And I was discussing with some. Of course, I had that kind of view before I understood a few things about the matter. So I was telling somebody about getting filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit baptism. The person told me that he is not holy enough to receive the Holy Spirit. That's why he is called the Holy Spirit. That he needs to be holy enough to receive the Holy Spirit. Hello? How many of you thought like that now? You thought like that before? Raise your hand now. You thought you needed to clean up your life. Hello? Raise your hand now. Raise your hand. You needed to clean up your life before you will continue. It will never be clean enough. Never. It will never be what? Clean enough. Meanwhile, in Christ, you are as clean as you should be. So God giving you his Holy Spirit is not because of you. It's because of who? You are correct. He is not giving you. I don't know.
Oh, now they laugh. This your laugh is pregnant. Onyozi. Oh, onyozi keo. Ona chineke akpọghọ. Ebe ona akpọziri is irrelevant. Maybe me and you, they share the vision, the thing. Well, I'm correct now. You the shop. The way Monday is laughing at you. You the shop, liver. If it's food, you take your time and eat well. Even if you don't eat all the time, but when you want to eat. You know those kind of people? They don't eat often, but when they want to give them space, they just eat it well. And all that. But the main thing is that you are all nosy. So, there will never be a time when you are qualified to receive anything from God. Your calling was in Christ. So, it's like, let me tell you, you see we that God called. In the real sense, nobody has a calling. In the real sense of it, empirically, it's only Christ that is the man of God. It's only Christ that has the calling. Are you getting the point? That means you can check through the scripture and confirm what I'm saying. God called us where? In Christ. It means the person that was called is Christ. God called us in Christ, saved us in Christ, sanctified us where?
In Christ.
So that means that the person that carries the sanctification is Christ. When you possess Christ, you have possessed sanctification. Are you following me now? Now, the Holy Spirit now takes that reality that you have possessed by receiving Christ. Based on your yieldedness and obedience to the word of God, the Holy Spirit, if that reality is not in you, it's not possible. Have you seen you now? Before you got born again, are you a bad person in your own opinion? No, that's what I'm saying. You don't kill people, you don't steal. Is it not true? You don't do things. And all that. Nobody can be able to be. There is no effort you make that can make you holy before you are born again. No effort. In fact, the more you are making effort, the more God is getting angry. Nothing pains somebody like after he has walked, somebody set a standard and then showed you how to walk that standard and say, copy it and give back to me. Are you getting the point? You now went and started solving your own solving. You just say, oh God, what are you doing? That's what a teacher told us those days when we were doing WAEC. He said, we don't do expo here. Like, what they mean by expo is carrying paper and all that. Say, you can't fail in this school. Even if you don't know how to read and write, don't you know how to copy from others? That's what the man told us. He said, because the person close here is an A student. This person, what? The person at the back, what? The person in front, what? You are the only. In case you don't know what to write, don't you know how to copy? Just turn like this and what? That's what God is telling us in Christ. Say, stop walking. Turn and what?
Copy.
That's all. If I give you 1,000 years, you can't copy it. You can't walk it. I want to know who is more powerful and stronger than Moses. I want to know who had more that is standing in a better platform to be able to walk more than Moses. Have you divided the Red Sea? Have you commanded water to come out of the rock? Have you fed 6 million people? What have you done now? Have you seen God face to face? Do you have 10 commandments? What do you have? Tell me. With all the capacities of Moses, he still was not able to keep the number one. He was not able to keep the commandment that he received by. You receive commandment, you are not able to keep it. Are you seeing how it is? So God did not need to check whether you can keep it, because if somebody like Moses, with all he has been exposed to, was not able to do it, then it is not possible that anybody will do it. And that's why the scripture always compares the two, Moses and Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, in Christ, God did it and said, don't do any other thing. What I need you to do is to what? Photocopy. Yes, now, walk. Show all walking. You don't know how to walk it. What do you do? So that's what God did. He copied the righteousness of Christ. Gave you. Copied sanctification. What? Gave you. Copied wisdom. What? Now, but the challenge is that the signature that is on it, the patent and the brand, is still not your own. Even though you are the one using it, whose brand are you using? Whose signature are you using? You are correct. You will never get to a point where you now grow, and then you now have your own, and then you don't need Christ. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Now that you have been copied, you have been given a copy of the sanctification that Jesus, God, had in Jesus for you. It is now domiciled in you as an installed capacity, structure, like an infrastructure. Let's say a transformer. An infrastructure, let's say they want to give us infrastructure, they gave us transformer and all that. Are you getting the point? I hope you know that if you don't obey to what makes that transformer to work and release its capacity, that you can have a transformer in your house. Yes, there will be no light. Are you with me? We can have, it's not we can have. There used to be light around this place, sometimes in the night, light. Am I correct? But we don't have light in this place. Until long time, many years later, we now went, there has been light. All we needed to do is to put wire here and what? Connect it. So the presence of Christ in your heart means little if you have not yet been yielded to obedience to God's instruction that can make the sanctification in you to become organically possible. What do we mean by organically? I think I've taught you before. In a living way. I said that something can be in you, but it's living means that it's alive and working. It's actually working. Like, it's not just that you said that in Christ I am holy. You know now that there is a holiness flowing inside of you. Sometimes it can be felt, sometimes it cannot be felt, but there will always be a knowing. Am I correct? There is a knowing. That knowing is not just a product of an installed capacity. It is a product of yielded capacity. Installed capacity, good, but you have to yield to the Holy Spirit so that he can draw from what God has installed by Christ in you to make it real in your day-to-day experience. Strike for me. Do you know that a man can yield so much that a day will come, somebody that used to like women, one day you see a naked woman, maybe people that are dressed half naked, you suddenly became angry. How many of you, it has ever, you are a man, it has ever happened to you? I'm not saying in the flesh. I'm not saying, what I'm talking about is not forming. One day you are just going, you are a young lady, used to like all this flashy, all this nonsense they do. Maybe you see Davido, he's sagging his trousers and all those things, and that's what you used to like it and to sing. But after some time, you got born again. The Holy Ghost walked long enough in you deadness. You looked at it, you were grieved in your heart. You got angry.
You wonder why this thing is ever moving anybody. You are a guy, it has ever happened to you. You just looked, and sometimes some of those ladies are even targeting you. Have they ever they have targeted you? They target you and then you feel like, I don't like using myself. But for me, sometimes I feel like vomiting. What's your business with some people are in campus and in some places you are tempted by Sockaway Pit? That's how my mind works. That's how I defeat those thoughts. You are not thinking well. Think well. This is Sockaway Pit. You are tempted. As soon as you think like that, is it not to get angry? You just get angry. How did I even descend to the point of even recognizing this kind of thing? Are you getting the point? Sockaway Pit. If they actually, and it's a fact, if they reveal the real shape of that person spiritually, they are carcass. And that's what you desire. A sister, those days, a young lady in the campus those days told me, Edu, you are fine, oh, Edu, you are. I said, it's not fire yet. There are some things fire does. There are some things the cross does. So, I said, I just smiled. What I thought in my heart is, do you know where we come down from? God. It is actually harder to fall into sin if you have received grace. Check it now. You like this. Do you know where you will be coming down from? Come down from 2 hours prayer. Come down from holy. Just imagine it. You now be coming down, coming down, coming down. It's like four story building. You now come down to the ground and look for a Sockaway Pit and tell him, I like you. The same you that have the life of God. Have grace. Listen to me. You don't know grace. I was telling my brothers yesterday. Those things that people teach that it is grace. You don't know grace. One of the signs that a man has organically stumbled and experienced grace is that he doesn't know what is making him to hate sin. He cannot explain it. He is not forcing himself by rules and regulations. There is an anchor that grace builds up in the heart of a man when it is working sanctification. Suddenly you hate the fact that you ever lied. Are you following me now? Suddenly you hate it. I'm not... How many of you have experienced... You hate it. If you are walking on the road and somebody says, "Nah," you are fine. You will feel dirty. How many of you are like me? You will feel dirty. You feel like the person polluted you by that language. How are you? You are now walking like this. Come out of this place. You don't know the spirit of grace. That's what the cross does. The Holy Ghost now takes the cross and begins to work sanctification organically into you. Are you getting the point? After some time, you will find out that you lack the capacity to be jealous. You that can't give before, you found yourself giving. They did. How many of you? You are like me. God brought your hand like this. Stretch your hand. Sit down. Stretch your hand like this. And use the cross. Power in your hand. Suddenly your hand opened. And you started giving without control. Sometimes I give and I ask myself, what did you just do? What did you just do? What did you just do? Hey, this boy, you are beyond redemption. What did you just do? But my hand is permanently like this. The cross has opened my hands and I can't close it. It has what? Opened my hands. And I was not born like that.
It's not as if I'm totally a bad person, but I was not born like that. They cross. Anything you are that cannot be. I was telling you people about me. Such a good child. Say wow. Such a nice child. Such a gentle child. One woman came and met my mother that time and said I stole something from her shop. My mother didn't need to ask the woman. He said, my son cannot steal. And I didn't steal. Self told me, my son. That's another thing altogether. You need to know what you are training. Said, my son cannot steal. And I didn't steal. That's the kind of child I am. All those things went to the cross. Sometimes when he goes to the cross, you that they used to say you are humble, it will seem as if you have become proud. It means that the cross is testing your strength in the natural, and you are still trying to get a grip on it. How many of it has happened to you? The same thing that they used to rate you high about is what you are now struggling with. How on earth are you struggling with giving? How? People now come to Betterama and say, you can't give me? Do you know me? My hand is like this. I give everybody. What do you mean by that? These people, they don't know me. They know you. But the one they want to know is the one that is what? You are now with me. The cross has not gone through even your good behavior. So there are two things you can see from this my analysis that the cross goes through. It goes through your good behavior. And also goes through what? Your bad behaviors. So when the cross comes, it begins to work sanctification. Huh? Have you seen people struggle with addiction? And they pray. Do some things. Some things are not working. It's the cross that is missing. The both side of the cross. There are things only the cross can strike down. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some tendencies that cannot die in your life. Let me tell you something. There are some prayers you need to pray. Many years ago, I was disturbed about the fact that there is a tendency for somebody to go high in ministry. When I started sensing that there might be a possibility of me being known. So I prayed a prayer for long. I said, Lord, deliver me from the pride of life. For years, I used to go for dry fasting, praying that prayer. When I finished praying it, I felt good. I felt good. The cross was still on the way coming. It was still on the way coming. Are you getting what I'm saying? The cross is still on the way. I will, if I have time, show you how the cross works. It works circumstantially. Are you seeing it now? So the cross was coming. When the cross came face to face with me, I thought I would die. Now, things can happen around you that you know that you did not do anything, but that is not important. The cross is going after the pride of life. So he can use all means possible, good and bad, to achieve that purpose. Are you getting the point now? It is that bad. If I keep saying what it means, it is very big. If the cross come after you, you can lose a relationship. You can be in an enmity with your parents for some time. The cross comes after you. You don't know what I'm talking about. You can be overly reliant on your parents. Meanwhile, you are being called with a call to show that responsibility. You need to be a man that need to... I'm telling you my story. You need to know how to survive being rejected. Some of things people call rejection, some of those things. Don't be quick to say those things. Calm down. Why didn't he kill you? Those things, God is rooting out even the things that have the tendency to make you to fail in the future. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If you can't survive heartbreak, how will you survive when somebody slanders you in ministry? How will you survive when all your friends desert you? Have you been deserted before? When even people that should speak truth for you now believe the lie on your behalf, and they can reach you by a phone call to ask you, is this true? You need to be tested in the wilderness first. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stop crying. It's the cross that is working. Claim that your tears and submit to the cross. It's not easy for me to teach this. I'm even afraid to teach it because I've taught it before and suffered. Listen to me, but there is no other way to enter into authority. There is no other way. God will bring circumstances to your life. Separate you from your family. Separate you from your comfort. Drive you to a place when sometimes you'll be doing swallowing garri in the night in Sabo. You remember the food you can eat at home. You will cry without crying. Are you getting what I'm saying? And as you are thinking about it, a call will enter and your parents will start bashing you. You will say, have you forgotten? Who forgot you? They are building you for where you are going before you will become a charlatan tomorrow. If you have, are you getting what I'm saying? If something has not been rooted out by the cross so that you can stay without sustenance and stay true. You are not the first man of God that doesn't have money. You are not. You are not. You won't be the last. You are not the first that ministered to people. They went somewhere and did thanksgiving. You are not. You won't be the last. What you need is not God for change, to change your situation. What you need is to die. Will God change our situation? Yes. But what you need first is to die. There are some people, all their life, what they want is just husband, marry. It's husband. No matter what, it's husband, it's husband. You are making, you will make that guy your God. And God has seen the kind of person you are. The way you are going, if you marry this kind of person, he will take your calling away. Because in the bid to keep your marriage, you will forsake the things you learned before. Are you getting what I'm saying? The cross stayed to delay you a little so that that possibility will be killed. You say you are suffering. You say you have not married. And so what? Well, I know it's hard for me to teach ladies this thing. But we also have witnesses that people has passed through the same thing and God raised their horn of authority. They didn't die, they survived. I know you have heard it before. It's better to take a little time to marry than to marry wrong. Is it not true? You will wish you are never married. You will look at your calling with all the fire you carried on campus, with all the deliverance you did, with all the impartations. It's just like somebody like Chinwe now marrying wrong. The whole of heaven will lie down and be crying. And that is the story with many sisters here. And the cross is trying to cut off some things that have the tendencies in you to cause you to depart. You are seeing the next 5 years. Satami, the cross. I say it works organically through circumstances. I cannot tell you how long it will last, and I can't tell you how heavy it will be. It's dependent on how much you are yielded so that the work of the cross can be perfected. If you are with me so far, say amen. What of greed? What of pride? Do you know if you start praying, Lord, more humility, I need to be more humble, humble me. You know what will happen to you? Say after me, humiliation. Have you been humiliated? You will be totally humiliated. I have been humiliated many times. And I cried for long and asked God, deliver me. He did not deliver me. And once you face things like that and cry for deliverance, the same kind of prayer that you normally pray, and you know that something will happen. If you pray it and nothing happens, just know that it's not your circumstance that needs to change. That you are what? You are the one that needs to change. If you are blessed so far, say amen. Are you sure you are blessed? I have something I wrote here. A crucified life is one that have canceled number one,
self. Number two, flesh. A crucified life is one that have canceled, like to rule out, to cancel. Cancel number one, self. The second thing he cancels is flesh. From our teaching, you know that these are not the same thing. And then finally, number three, the world. What are the three things? Number one, number two, number three, and has put the cross at the center. Show me Matthew chapter 16, verse 24.
Through me, cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me. Till I see as you see. Yes, through me, cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me. Till I see. Yes, through me, come through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see as you see. Come through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me. Till I see, as you see. Yes, through me, come through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me. Till I see, as you see. Yes, through me, come through me. Open me up, do your surgical work in me until I see as you see. Yes, through me, cut through me, open me up, do your surgical work in me till I see as you see. Yes, through me, cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see as you see. Yes, through me, cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see. As you see, yes, through me, come through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see. As you see,
three more times.
Yes, through me, come through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see as you see. Come through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see as you see.
In Jesus' name. Show me my scripture. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will what? If any man will what? Hey. You know, the scripture is so marvelous. From this scripture now, how many people are indeed the followers of Jesus? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Sister John, if any man will come after me, let him first of all do what? So I told you people that the cross cancels first what? Self. Let him deny himself, then take up his cross and follow. There is something profound that my wife said yesterday. I don't know if you people caught it when she said it. I know you will catch it. What did she say? Let me know whether you caught it. Can you remember? Try.
She said that Jesus bore his cross before he was crucified, but we are crucified before we bear our cross.
That's a good one. I like your Bible mind. Then, if all this your Bible mind, we need to convert it to reality. Why is Satan fighting to make a disparity between what you know and what is your reality? That's priesthood missing. If you know a lot and the reality is missing, what's the challenge here? If there is a knowledge problem, you solve the knowledge problem. But if you know, at least you know enough, but you are not seeing the impact as much as you know, what is missing? Priesthood. Priesthood is the gap between what you know and what you are experiencing. What is in the realm of the spirit and what is manifested. Are you getting the point now? That's by the way. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, next verse, please. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall what? Find it. What does it mean for you to save your life? You know, sometimes you'll be fasting and praying, say, I don't want to kill myself. Oh. Have you not said or thought something like that? You save your life. And Jesus is saying, that time you saved your life, you actually lost it. That is in a practical sense. I don't want to. If you want to take it far, people take it far, that you are faced and say, Jesus or you die. You now say Jesus and die. That's not what this place is saying. This place is saying that every day, every hour, every minute, you are offered consistently opportunity to choose Jesus that will cancel self or what you would have loved to do for yourself. What if Jesus, with your plan for Hollandia and everything, Jesus said, no Hollandia this night? Huh? What will you say? What if Jesus look at you and say, no marriage for 1 year, no marriage for 2 years, and you are a sister, and people are actually coming now to marry you, coming now? These things are hard though. I feel like not teaching it. What if you finish school and God say no youth service for you? Have you ever thought of it before? What if God said no youth service? Yes, there are brothers amongst us that God told no youth service. They didn't go till today. I'm not the one. I was even telling them to go. Come here, I like school. So I'm normally biased on the side of going to school. So that you will not wake up tomorrow and use your certificate. That's death. That's
you have crossed the bridge and burned it. Anything God gave you, be holding it like this. Because if they look from heaven and see the way you have grabbed that thing, even if God did not intentionally want to take it, he will not take it so that your sense will be correct. He doesn't want anything to compete with you and him. If you heard me so far, say amen. For whosoever will save his life, save them himself. What of your self-esteem? I don't want to call it self-esteem because esteem is good. You know, we were discussing in Bible study in the morning with the sisters. I told them that, in my own opinion, the meaning of the word self-esteem has changed a little from what it used to be 20 years ago, or even 15 years ago, 10 years ago. It used to be something very good. But I'm not sure it's so good. And I hope you know the meaning of words. Am I correct? The meaning of words can change according to the time, over time. For example, the word gay used to mean something very nice. One of the best words ever. It is no more that. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, because of what people relate words as meaning, the meaning can actually shift over time. So I am not 100% on what this generation identifies as self-esteem. But in the original meaning of what we used to think self-esteem is, it is something that is actually born from God. Very important that every human being has. But this is what I mean. Don't you like the way you appear? There is a brother amongst us. Sometimes if I call him out in the open like this, to use him to give a not too pleasant example, he's not happy. I look at him, look at his future, I know he will not make it. Until the day he embraces that, he doesn't know that thing is a test of a tendency deep in his heart that he's not aware of. I'm not saying conform, you know, until something in you is not even aware whether that kind, you are not, are you seeing what he said? He is too aware of himself and who he is. So he feels that there are some things you should not tell him to do, or there are some things you should not say. It's not true. If God senses that you have that tendency and he brings you and humiliates you, accept it. It will save your life in the future. Somebody looked at Jesus and called him wine bibber, and said that he is full of demon. Jesus. Accept it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Self. The cross and self does not exist together at the same time in any place or in any man. One must cancel the other out. And the duty of God is to, by the cross, cancel out self. Self-pursuit. Ambition. You know, ambition is a product of self. It takes time for a young pastor to actually prove that his desire to do ministry is not an ambition. It takes time. The fact remains that an average young minister is in the ministry motivated by ambition. What you say, for example, if you come and meet me and say, "Apostle, I need power," is ambition. Because that thing is directionless. It is purposeless. Your language is not like a man that caught burden from heaven. What is it that needs power to sponsor that you are now crying for power? Even when we find that thing out, is it legitimate? Do you actually need money as you are saying that you need it? Or is it that you want to be a person of status? So that if you go back to the village, all these people will not be neglecting people that are born again. So if I go to my village and they neglect me that I'm poor, I'm not saying you should be like me. If they neglect you, it's for your own safety, self. It's better for you. It will reduce spending. Have you ever thought about this thing like this? That if more people think that you are nothing, they will not ask you for something. But if they think you are something, every month, billing, especially if you are a civil servant, they will target you. Especially around this time, some people billing, there's their WhatsApp, billing everywhere, billing. But if they think that you are nothing, nobody bills, no somebody that doesn't have, check it. People, they know they beg you money. It's billing. With all the way you are doing as if still they bill you. Imagine if you bring Okomoko. I'm telling you. Henceforth, we don't want to know any man. That tendency to go back to the village and prove to them that you are now succeeding is not from God. It looks like you are making a statement. Who is making statement? Allow God to make statement if he wants. Remove yourself from the statements of self. People do it. Even fathers. That's what is making your father to drive you at this young age to go and make money. I believe that the majority of young men that is in Yahoo, their parents push them into it. Heard another young man say that his older brother, that his parents are telling him, look at your younger brother, he is making money. What is making money? Yahoo. I said that your parents should be careful before they will use her to do it. Some of these people are daft. You don't understand things. Your place is dark. The young man is making it darker. All they are doing is for status sake. So that they will say, my child is now rich, that we are also doing well. Who cares? Who cares? Who earned? Who gained? Did the kingdom gain? What advantage did he offer to the kingdom? Thank God that some of us have substance. Listen to me. God did not call us to be millionaires. That's not why we are born again. That's not why. Millionaire or not, it is a duty to the cross. All this rat race, so that I want to hustle. You see every small young boy, they are saying, I want to hustle. What is hustle? Huh? Listen to what I'm saying. Call that young man that want to hustle. Tell him to go with you to Nkwo so that you will show him what hustle is. They lack the discipline. They are too lazy to stay in that Nkwo so that some will beat them. They will run back and say they want to hustle. That means they don't know how money comes. What they mean is, how do I have money without working? How can I have money being lazy? You will now be driving car on the road and be carrying girls. And as they say, hustle, you are a criminal, you are a thief. You too, you are being moved by that. It means that the cross needs to appear. What are you doing with status in the society? What are you even doing with names? What are you doing with title, with names? Whether it's spiritual title or... These things, are you getting what I'm... These things are nothing. They are just promotion of self. A man is who he is in Christ. Anything outside is nothing to be reckoned with. Time after time, you need to appear before the cross so that it can judge you. Based on your present rating in heaven. If there are things that you need to discard so that you can start working on it on time before it will become a declaration of interest, before heaven will now say, hey, we are here to do this. It's better that you do it by yourself. It's easier actually. Is it not true? Self. The problem with self is that you can carry it into ministry. So let's assume you are the general overseer. Huh? Was your father general overseer? You can start on your kulot abatomi. Are you seeing it now? And all kinds of gimmicks that is a promotion of self. You see a young man that is doing well in his business or in his work, just to make sure you gather people to open more branches. You remove a young man from his well-paying job. It's not God that removed him. You remove him and make him a pastor where he is idle, doing nothing. Nothing. 3 years later, the young man is dry, not going towards the direction of his people. Everybody is not called to be a pastor standing on the pulpit. They will do ministry, but not on... Are you hearing what I'm saying? That young man you remove from his job as a pastor is your ambition. In the desire to have more branches, to spread everywhere, you shatter people's life, through them where they are not aware of. Are you seeing it now? Somebody is going somewhere already, and he didn't tell you that God is saying otherwise. You first connive, convince, block the person, push him into what he doesn't. The day his eyes open, he will take you as his enemy. And that's what is happening to many of them. After years of moving on that line and serving as pastors in that church, after some time, they now become angry with the same church that they served under. Are you seeing it now? Because they believed. If a man is convinced that he served God serving under a church, he cannot come against that church. It is because after some 10 years, he feels that you wasted her youth, wasted his youth. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is self that makes pastors drive their ministry outside of what God is making it to be. In my own opinion, there are pastors' conferences we should not call. There are things we should never discuss in pastors' conferences. I'm telling you. If I say some things now, it will look like... Okay, we call pastors' conferences for how to make our churches to grow. In the real sense of it, that is a promotion of self. It is our ambition that is really... being worked out. According to the scripture, there is only one way to increase. And God added to the church as such as He. Such as He. If God ordained you 50 members, what are you looking for with 1,000 people? It's obvious that your grace doesn't cover 1,000. You are going to miss it in your calling. And my fear, if only you is the one that missed it, no problem. My fear is that I pity you staying under a pastor that doesn't have grace by his calling to pastor you and pastor that amount of people. Several people, they are undoing in their calling. The call is too hard, even if you have a genuine calling. If you want to do the call, genuine, it's too hard. Only for you to go and carry for yourself what God did not add for you. You want to kill yourself. He's already killing. I tell you. He's already killing, doing the one God sent you. And you carry the one he didn't send you. So if you have 1,000 members that God did not add to you, you will maintain them by a means that God did not say. I know what I'm saying. If God is not the one that added you to revival, I know you will not call. Hey, you will not call. Do you like my kind of person? Say the truth. I know you don't like me. No matter how much you have stayed, you don't like me. I know. It's your destiny that likes me. Me too, I don't like you. It's your destiny, that place you are going. That's the one. Yes. It is God that added you here, OJB. It's God. You, I'm sure, is God that added you here. It's not part of your plans. It's God. It's the Holy Ghost that can add somebody like you. Then you will be able to stay in this kind of place. people came here in Sabbath to stay for 3 days. They have been here for more than 1 year. How long do you plan to stay?
A year and a half.
How long do you plan to stay?
I came to stay, sir.
In the beginning, did you plan to stay this long?
No, no, sir.
How long?
Maybe 1 year, but no.
That your bed that time. How long do you plan to stay?
A few weeks.
It's after me a few weeks. I remember when Dennis appeared here. Every day after service, he will run to me and say, those days, it seems as if he's man of God. He used to call me. He's watching me. Say, man of God, drop something on my life. Say, come, come and collect it. I will rush you. When he finished, he felt good. He didn't know he's been baptized into work and labor. 2 years later, he couldn't recognize himself. I told him, bro, you are free to go. One of the worst things you can tell people in Revival Hub is go. Go where? Go where now? Go where? Even to travel for Christmas is a burden. It's only God that can add like that. That's how we added charlatans. That's how we added thieves. That's how we had mixed multitude. And that's how the idol was set up in the wilderness. What made millions to fall in the wilderness? It is because we feel... Why have we removed the message of the mixed multitude from the church? The church is too mixed. That even if you teach the simplest of truths from the scripture, people become offended. These are the things that we are naturally used to. We don't even consider it a hard message. Where are they coming from? What happened to us? When we were younger, we don't consider these things we are teaching, and people say we are hard. We don't consider it a hard message. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are born in church. This is what we hear every Sunday. This is what we live every day. It's part of our life. Since when did it become a hard message? Since when did it now become, mind what you say, so you need to, how to understand that you need to speak to people. Get away from my face. If you don't want to stay in the church, stay away. Stay away. It's better to have 100,000 that entered into Canaan than to have 6 million that made even the 100,000 to miss it. You are seeing the problem of mixed multitude. Even the true amongst them now, they are now bound. They don't know how to respond. They are not yet discipled enough to carry the shoulder to influence the remaining so that they will take the path of righteousness. That is why when Jesus appeared, he changed the order. He has to raise a 12. The apostolic model is not to gather number. That's not how to start anything. Anything that is apostolic doesn't start. You don't start by saying, what do they normally call it in this time? What do they call it? Inaugural service. You are starting apostolic ministry with an inaugural service. You are not reading your Bible. You don't know what is in the Bible. It's only God that can add to an apostolic company. Only God by himself. Thank God that God has helped some of us. You can't say it's crowd. We don't see it's crowd. What is crowd? What is the meaning of crowd? What does they offer to you? Crowd is to weary you. Come out of it. Every man that gave himself to crowd made a mistake. Every man, including Moses. Every man that gives himself to the desires of the crowd, you will always miss it. That is why, even though Jesus has a ministry to 5,000, a day will come, he will give himself to the 12. It is only within the 12 that he hears the kind of feedback that he wants. Keep asking the 5,000, they'll be saying things that you don't understand. What is that? Where did he come out from? And if you allow Satan, that this is the problem. There is a generation that is coming thinking that's the pattern. Except a man points out it, people will think that's how it's done. Oh, the problem with that is that we are going to pay for it in the coming season. We are going to pay for it. A church so mixed that we cannot find seven people that are witnesses to righteousness. You appear before a church and all the Yahoo boys you know are the people that are church workers. Go and check. Church workers are runs girls. They even need to raise money to contribute for the coming program. Pierce through me, cut through me. When you remove the cross from the church, it's a dead church. It's not useful for anything. It's after me, bring the cross back. It's after me, bring the cross back. It's after me, bring the cross back. When the fathers got born again, they are afraid to eat anything. The fathers don't wear any clothes they see. Now we have removed that. They don't wake up like this and say, I love, I marry. Just look how they marry. Before they marry, they call a company to prayer. They will generate prayer like 6 months or 1 year, sometimes 2 years. They will be cooking the matter to know whether it's even time to marry. When they now find out whether it's time to marry, they will now be praying whether it's the one. Those days, they will now say that this marriage is by thus says the Lord. Bring back the cross, oh God. Do you know what is thus says the Lord? It's not what you said the Lord is telling me now. That's not what is thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord is what is in the book of Acts chapter 13. God thunders in their midst. It is based on thus says the Lord that people can take risk. I was telling my mother one day about coming down to Nehu, and she said that, you see, that we labor, but God is helping us. He said that I told her and all those things. What she said is this. If coming to Nehu, and it is true, if coming to Nehu is not a thus says the Lord, you will not find me here. It is a total ministry mistake for me to appear here and start a ministry work. Say after me, thus says the Lord. When the Lord said thus, then you carry your cross and start going there. Even if it means you will die, you start going there. You will be crying and be going. You will be crying and be going. You will be crying. You say, Lord, I'm weak. I can't carry this. But if you say so, I go. Lord, you know me. I'm too weak. This thing, I will die. But if you say so, I'm going. Where are those things? Where are those prayers? Listen to me. Sometimes, those days, when God sends a man on a mission field, people gather together for 3 months and pray and cry for you. By the time you were leaving, it's like they lost a man that is dead. You are going there as if you have died. They are not expecting. That's why none of them went to a mission field and didn't have a result. Because they went there dead. Bring back the cross, oh God. Save the people for yourself. Bring back the cross. Save the people for yourself. Bring back the cross. Can you pray for the next 1 minute and say, Lord, bring back the cross! The cross needs to come back to the church. The cross needs to come back to our lives. The victorious Christian life is the crucified one. Pierce through me, cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see as you see. Pierce through me, cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see as you see. Pierce through me, cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical work in me till I see as you see. Jesus mighty.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Dechiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Dechiku. God bless you.